About 60 miles down the road, it's almost like a parallel universe where 20-somethings like Sahar Gabriel live pretty normal lives. I Skyped with Gabriel today, but before we could talk, she had to get a teenager to turn down the Bruno Mars blaring from his tablet.
My brother listening to music. Just 1 second, sorry.
Yeah, like I said, pretty normal. Sahar Gabriel lives in Erbil, a city not under ISIS control. She works for an electronics company there. A few years ago, she lived in Dearborn, Michigan. But life in America wasn't all she hoped for, so she returned to Iraq to care for her mother. Gabriel says these days, life in Erbil is calm for the most part. She even thinks I'd enjoy a visit.
Maybe I would take you around the old bazaars surrounding the citadel and go to a restaurant. We have a great Chinese restaurant that just opened up. Maybe I'll take you there.
Sounds good. I love Chinese food. Any shopping malls that I should see?
We have five major shopping malls and two more opening.
Wow.
Right now. We have two movie theaters and two big malls in Erbil.
What have you seen recently?
Tomorrowland. It's a science fiction movie. George Clooney and someone else. I don't know her name.
Right. I mean, it sounds like a kind of a normal city, and yet ISIS-controlled Mosul is not that far away. 2 hours if you got in your car. Does it seem a world away for you?
Right now, it does. When ISIS first took over Mosul and they got in pretty close on the road, it was pretty scary in here. We lived a few very trying days for us in Erbil. But at some point, we figured we have to go back to a normal life. And it gave us that level of comfort to move on.
And yet, on the street where you live in Erbil with your parents, there are families, I gather, who have fled regions controlled by ISIS. So you are confronted with that reality, right?
We have people from Mosul and the villages surrounding Mosul and Anbar, Ramadi. I mean, in the beginning, they were everywhere and it was a crisis situation. And I think like with a year now gone to that, they're starting to settle into the city. I mean, most of them are finding jobs. Most of them are starting renting out houses and buying furniture and they're settling in. The people that I do meet are coming to terms with the idea that this is going to be their homes from now on.
So you went abroad after the U.S. invasion of Iraq in 2003, spending 2 years in Dearborn, Michigan, as I said before, going back to Iraq to take care of your mom. It sounds like you're one of those people who has a foot in two worlds, kind of comfortable with both Iraqi and U.S. culture. What is that like for you personally? I mean, how do you think about your homeland and its future?
I was born in Baghdad and raised in Baghdad. For a girl, there aren't a lot of opportunities for things that you can do. The life that you follow seems so very one-dimensional, if I can say that. When we went to the States and had an opportunity to be exposed to the world and work there and got experience and met people and for some reasons came back in here, Kurdistan was a perfect opportunity. It was a golden opportunity for us because here is a place that we can actually work, we can make a living in here, that we can have a modicum of social life in here and meet new people and interesting people and still a part of our homeland. It's still called home in some sense. I know it's a separate region. It has a different government and even the language is not the same, but it's still home.
Do you feel hopeful about the future of Erbil?
I do, to be honest, because I don't feel like the spirit of the youth or the people that work in here has changed. They've been a bit demoralized because of the situation happening, but so far it's okay.
Even with ISIS just 2 hours down the road?
Yes, strangely. Yeah, life is moving on in here.
Sahar Gabriel speaking with me from her home in Erbil in Iraq. Thank you very much. Great to meet you.
Thank you. Likewise.